Recording on. Here we go. All right, cool. So, hey, we're back with section, I don't know, 22. What fucking edition are we on? Talking about the wonderful, what would you, oh, we're talking about the Alamo play party, which don't,
yeah,
people. I'm
here feeling. Let's just not do that.
Awesome.
Let's just not.
Don't have a plantation wedding. Don't have a cowboys and Indian theme fucking wedding. Don't.
Yeah.
Don't do any of those things.
just let all of that go. Because here's the other thing that I was thinking about, and I mean, it's sort of funny that I'm taking your somewhat joking, maybe not entirely joking, comment about, hey, Paula Deen, I could staff that thing for you,
right,
and I'm actually treating it with in my brains, as my brains are wont to do. I'm treating it with actually like a little bit of consideration and maybe. Like a little bit more seriously than the original intention. But I'm going to ask a question anyways, because I feel like it could apply to other situations, and that it's a key element when you're talking about a commodification of desire. And if this was a, if you were someone, if you were a person of kink who is also a person of color, specifically in this case, an African-American person, who derives a significant amount of joy and reward and finds from service, finds service and submission, you know, just the most squee happy-making thing that you can sink your teeth into. Would you even want to do it for these people? Who are not going to receive the service with the, you know, like anywhere close to an appropriate amount of honor and respect?
No.
Right?
No, that's a no. I will tell you that I feel like it would be far more difficult for someone who's aware of their own sexuality and kink around it to accept that job than it would be from someone who's saying, yeah, this is awful, but I need the work.
Yes.
You know, and the, yeah, this is awful, but I need the work person, let me underscore, I am not trying to hate on them. I completely get it. And that's unfortunately the way it is right now in America today.
Totally. And I'm like, by no means am I doing the same. Take the work where you can get it.
Okay.
And the conversation is existing, you know, primarily in the hypothetical and as a kickoff point for a bunch of other stuff.
My plantation wedding.
Oh, my goodness. Count me in.
Which would be so rad.
I'll be the one foreigner in this plantation going, what the fuck are all of you people doing?
Like all, there'd be like hella Swedes and hella Canadians. And there would have to be, of course, like Lady Kona would have to come down from Vancouver to the wedding. And then to like secretly be like, okay, but all right, I'm just going to talk shit right here. So yes, you would not be certainly the only foreigner present at the plantation wedding. But the thing is that what I believe is, again, intention is what sets it into a different realm here, because the intention of a person who is doing this consciously buys into the consent of all involved parties. If you are surreptitiously fapping to this particular hotness, it's kind of non-consensual, right? It's like if I am waiting table somewhere and I'm running to the bathroom to jerk off every 20 minutes, have the people who are receiving my service consented to my slavering fantasies? Well, no, they haven't, but they don't have to, because it's only happening in my head. In a situation where it's happening in a wedding, it's very real for a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's a slightly different approach. But this also kind of leads into the question of the, not just the commodification desire, but the kinkification of your life. Because when I think about my own stuff, I mean, I've worked in service industries in various capacities for many years. And there was a while where I was about as close as you can get to being, you know, the sort of like Alfred to the Batman as in being an executive assistant for people, where, of course, it's always starts off very official. Here's my paperwork. Here's my schedule. Here's my whatever. But inevitably becomes that frantic phone call to you at home at 8 o'clock on a Saturday. Holy shit, I forgot this thing. Can you, sorry to ask, but can you go into the office early, late, whatever, whatever? And eventually, you know, when you are a personal assistant for someone, you do get crossover in your personal lives. For me, as a kinky, submissive, slave type person, am I going to take advantage of that and be like, oh my God, yes, this is the hottest, longest, most involved service scene ever?
Okay, so, and so you would do that?
Yeah, because I'm a terrible person.
Okay, so let's.
I feel like the paycheck at that point is consent.
Oh, that's fascinating. So this makes me think of two things that I'm going to bring up. First is a throwback to a conversation that I had with my friend Andrea Zanin, the sex geek.
Hey, who's awesome.
Who is brilliant.
So fucking awesome.
She and I were having lunch or something in Kensington Market, which is a neighborhood in Toronto. And I was talking about, this was back when I was still working in theater, I think, and I was looking to get out of it.
Wait, she lives in Toronto as well?
She does.
Oh, man. See, now I totally have to come up there.
Yeah, so many more reasons. So I was talking about wanting to stop working in theater, and one of the things that I said to her was, I feel like I would totally, I feel like I could very easily become an executive assistant. And that would be, that from stage manager, which is what I did in theater,
yeah,
to executive assistant, I mean, that's like a lateral skill shift for
yeah,
so much more money. Like, it's so much more money. And she looked at me and she said, would that, I'm going to paraphrase because unfortunately I can't remember exactly what she said, but it was along the lines of, would you, as the dominant identified person that I know and recognize that you are, not feel weird being in that kind of essentially a service position?
Whoa. Okay, what was your answer? And then we can fight about that.
Well, my answer was, it's not service.
Ah, see? But it is.
And I'm getting paid. Like, it's a job that I can quit at any time.
Right.
It's a job. It is an application of my particular skill set for money, and that is the extent of it. In order which leads into the second thing that I was going to say, which is to bring up my core belief that service is not service unless it is bidirectional.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. First of all,
unless
you don't have to blend your personal sex life with your job also. Like, you have
yes,
to make it's a conscious choice to say, oh yeah, and I'm super turned on by making your airplane reservations.
Yes. Totally. And everybody at my current job would probably be really happy to hear me agree with you. but for me, it's like, in order for something to qualify as service, it has to be received as service.
Right.
Because otherwise, there is a lack of consent.
Otherwise, there's a lack of consent, and also it's just a thing that you are doing in your head. It's a fantasy.
Yeah, it's a fantasy, but it also could just be something as simple as I'm doing something nice for someone.
Right. And let us also underscore that running someone's life could be a service, and it can also be dominance.
Totally.
So let us not assume that the idea of someone being someone's executive assistant means that you aren't necessarily submissive to them. For example, I had an executive assistant position for a while with a big, 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 big bank where it was my job to chase down executives who could buy and sell me at that point and tell them what to do and be like, you have this much money out in your expense account. I have receipts for this. You have 3 days to get me the rest of these receipts. Otherwise, it's going up to senior management. Goodbye. Now,
right.
Am I in a subordinate position? Sure. But was I empowered to act and sort of push them around? Yes. And so that's the interesting thing to me about power exchange is that it can look like anything. You know, it can look like someone calling the shots and running your life, but it can also look like someone receiving the shot calling and life running.
Yeah.
It's very again, that's about the intention.
And this is a big throwback for me to when I think about my preferred dominance archetype has always been the butler. I love that shit. Gosford Park, Downton Abbey, that like upstairs, downstairs. Holy crap, that is amazing. Proper table settings and all of that.
You have nothing,
like,
nothing
oh my
common
God.
With my evil landlady, Laura Antoniou, which, as I say, sidebar, I have to tell on the entire household here. We went to see Django Unchained. Have you seen it?
Yep.
The sequence when they're setting the tables. And this is one of the things where I was like, everyone needs to shut up about the length of this movie. There was 3 minutes of table setting pornography movie when they're just repeatedly like running their fingers over the, oh, I just got goosebumps. Just think, I'm kidding you. Oh my God. And they're just running their fingers over the edge of the table setting mats and like putting the thing and whatever. And then they're cutting back and forth, then moving back and forth in the kitchen. And we were all just like,
yeah,
you know,
because you know what's really fucking hot? Efficiency.
Yeah. That's just efficiency,
yeah.
And thoroughness and like attention to detail.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you saw that thing.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and that's why for me, the butler as an archetype was so amazingly appropriate, because the other thing that the butler is background and subtle. Like,
yeah.
There was nothing that was big and pushy about the way that figure ran a house.
Right.
It was forceful when it needed to be. It was stern when it needed to be, but it was background. It was predominantly sidebar and say, one of the weird things about my stutter, because I've had a stutter ever since I've been speaking. I don't know how much it's going to come across in this, but I just hit a word that I locked on, so it's interesting. I never actually know what sounds I'm going to get stuck on. So for instance, I was just there able to say the word sounds and stuck without a problem. Mm-hmm. But the word subtle, I have a huge problem with.
Oh.
And I think it has something to do with the shape that my mouth has to make to create those sounds.
Well, it's a good thing you're not Swedish then, because that weird sort of curvature that your tongue has to make to say the word subtle. And it's that, it's like, it's the front of the mouth. It's very, I don't, is plosive the word I'm thinking of? I can't remember anyway, but
yeah.
Your tongue has to do that weird cuppy thing.
Yeah.
And I got mocked roundly by the Swedes for trying to pronounce the word, that is their word for a meal that takes place over a many small plates and dishes. We might in America just say smorgasbord. And now every fucking Swede listening to this is laughing. I'm not even kidding you. I had hours of, and I'm not exaggerating, schooling on how to, eventually I got it, but it was that weird cuppy thing. And I will say probably people listening to this, if someone is familiar with how people who stutter structure their vocal inflection, tone, and pace, they might have picked it up. But mostly people just think that you're super thoughtful and like they're like, wow, he's really very deep. And you do that like sort of hanging on for the next word. What is he going to say, man? It's going to be this profound
Yeah, the my judicious use of the weighty pause,
which is so rad.
It could be like, shit, that dude is smart, or it could be that
totally,
you know, the thing that he wanted to get out isn't actually going to come out, so he's waiting until his mouth is going to be able to get it out.
But that's, you know, and this actually, funnily enough, plays back into the whole idea of archetypes of dominance, right? There are the mm-hmm. people who come in and push and shove and order and are blustery or are very demanding, and you hear the list of things you must do to qualify and to earn the blah 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 whatever. Or there are the people who sort of, you do the whole, you know, Tai Chi method of using your own power against yourself. And mm-hmm. it's like, I see what you're doing. I'm going to now grab and redirect this energy in this particular way that suits my needs. You know, and if by suiting my needs, what I do is I channel your energy into this particular direction, great, because that's how the dominance works. It is more subtle, and in my opinion, it's a different approach. It's my favorite approach, so I'm completely biased. Loud and bossy and aggressive and showy domination doesn't really do it for me, because I'm like, you can't get bigger than I can. You can't. Like,
right.
Don't even try. So the person who can say, all right, I see how big you're being. I'm going to go push this tiny little button over here, completely deflate your hugeness and have you like crawling on the floor drooling. I'm like, oh, well, that's, there you go. That was some shit right
yeah.
there. That's far more important than someone tries to outpuffer fish me, because I'm like, you can't.
Right. Or it's like, you can get as big as you want to, and I'm just not going to do a thing.
Exactly. Like, still not reacting, because it's just
yeah.
not a thing.
It's just, it's like, yes, you're big. So?
Yay!
When I think about, and I mean, this is, hello, other tangent. When I think